भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमग्नानादिभिः सह कलौ न शतृशाम् एष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 6, Chapter 4. Text is number 14. The chapter is entitled the Hansaguya Prayers. And I'll just chant text 13. Antaha Deheshu Bhutanam Atma Aste Harihi Ishwaraha Sarvam Tadhishnyam Ikshadvam Evam Vaha Toshitaha Hi Asau Antardeheshu Bhutanam Atmaste Haririshwaraha Saravam Tadhishnyam Ikshadvam Evam vastoshito hyasau Antardeheshu bhutanam Atmaste haririshwaraha Sarvam tadhishnyam ikshadvam Evam vastoshito hyasau Antardeheshu bhutanam Atmaste Haririshwaraha Sarvam Tadhishnyam Ikshadvam Evam Vastoshito Hyasau. Antardeheshu Bhutanam Atmaste Haririshwaraha Saravam tadhishnyam ikshadvam Evam vastoshito hyasau Antardeheshu bhutanam Atmaste haririshwaraha Saravam tadhishnyam ikshadvam Evam vastoshito hyasau Antardeheshu bhutanam Ladies. Antaha Deheshu, within the bodies, in the cores of the hearts, Bhutanam, of all living entities, Atma, the Supersoul, Aste, resides, Harihi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishwaraha, the Lord, or Director, Sarvam, all, Tat Dhishniyam, his place of residence, Ikshadvam, try to see, Evam, in this way, Vah, with you, Toshitaha, satisfied, he, indeed, Asao, that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated as the Supersoul within the cores of the hearts of all living entities, whether moving or non-moving, including men, birds, animals, trees, and indeed all living entities. Therefore, you should consider every body a residence or temple of the Lord. By such vision, you will satisfy the Lord. You should not angrily kill these living entities in the forms of trees. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated as the Supersoul within the cores of the hearts of all living entities, whether moving or non-moving, including men, birds, animals, trees, and indeed all living entities. Therefore, you should consider every body a residence or temple of the Lord. By such vision, you will satisfy the Lord. You should not angrily kill these living entities in the forms of trees. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita and confirmed by all the Vedic scriptures, Ishwaraha Sarva Bhutanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Atishtati. The Supersoul is situated within everyone's heart. Therefore, since everyone's body is the residence of the Supreme Lord, one should not destroy the body because of unnecessary envy. That will dissatisfy the Supersoul. Soma told the Prachetas that because they had tried to satisfy the Supersoul, now they should not displease him. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnanam Janishalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvenama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutaparikamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Antar Deheshu Bhutanam Atma Aste Harir Ishwaraha Sarvam Tadhishnyam Ikshadvam Evam Vastoshito Hyasau. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated as the Supersoul within the cores of the hearts of all living entities, whether moving or non-moving, including men, birds, animals, trees, and indeed all living entities. Therefore, you should consider every body a residence or temple of the Lord. By such vision, you will satisfy the Lord. You should not angrily kill these living entities in the form of trees. It's notable that the Prachetas had extremely high qualifications. In fact, they themselves, back in the fourth canto, stated their qualifications, not necessarily as qualifications, but just summarizing their experience. They said, when offering their prayers to the Lord, "We have studied the Vedas, accepted a spiritual master, and offered respect to the Brahmanas, advanced devotees, and aged personalities who are spiritually very advanced. We have offered our respects to them, and we have not been envious of any brother, friends, or anyone else. We have also undergone severe austerities within the water, and have not taken food for a long time." All these spiritual assets of ours are simply offered for your satisfaction. We pray for this benediction only, nothing more. This is the Prachetas talking about their own experience. They had also noted in the same passage back in the fourth canto, that when the Lord, out of natural compassion, thinks of his devotee, by that process only are all desires of the neophyte devotee fulfilled. The Lord is situated in every living entity's heart, although the living entity may be very insignificant. The Lord knows everything about the living entity, including all his desires. Although we are very insignificant, why should the Lord not know our desires? Now, this was the Prachetas qualifications. They evidently at that time had realization of the very things that Soma is trying to remind them right now. So what happened? They saw Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, we were reading last night, because it was Shivaratri, we were reading from the Rudra Gita, which in fact Lord Shiva taught to these Prachetas. And Lord Shiva was saying himself, I think it was Lord Shiva was saying, that even for great advanced yogis and transcendentalists and jnanis, to get his association is very rare. And yet these Prachetas, they evidently by chance, it was not a planned meeting, they just happened to come across Lord Shiva at the place where they were executing their austerities. And Lord Shiva personally gave them mercy, just it would seem causeless mercy. He taught them this phenomenal Rudra Gita. If you haven't read it lately, it's a good idea to review it because it's so deep and so profound. So many realizations that Lord Shiva has shared with them. And our acharyas, including Srila Prabhupada in his wonderful Bhaktivedanta purports, have shared the depth of those realizations that have been expressed by Lord Shiva in that prayer to the Lord, to the Supreme Lord Vasudeva, or rather Sankarsana, his worshipful deity. So the Prachetas had all these qualifications that we've just read. They had executed austerities for 10,000 years. And they got the personal association of Lord Shiva. And when they concluded their period of, well, at some point during their execution of these austerities, in fact, they saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they didn't pray for anything material, even though that was their instruction. They were instructed by their father to do what? Anybody remember? The Prachetas. Why were they executing these austerities? Because they had to generate progeny. That was their function. They were the sons of Prachinabharti, who was engaged in that endeavor as well. So, but even though they had executed these austerities, evidently with all success, because the word is used, I think, dharma snata, which Prabhupada translates and comments there, they had achieved perfection in every sense, religious perfection, material and spiritual perfection they had achieved. And finally, they saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He came in front of them and spoke with them and gave them his blessings and said, whatever benediction you ask, it's yours. Just ask me. And they didn't ask for anything. They said, it's enough just to see you. It would seem as if they were in pure devotional service. So why are they doing what they're doing now? It seems from what the Bhagavatam and what the commentators have said about this, that they were actually under the sway of anger. We know in Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say about anger? In several places he discusses anger, particularly in chapter 16. Anybody know what I'm thinking about? There are three great enemies of humankind. That's, what are they? Lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give these up because they lead to the degradation of the soul. In fact, they're all pretty much interrelated, it seems, as well, isn't it? Greed, and we know from chapter 2, lust in particular, when it's frustrated, it turns into anger. And anger can destroy a person. It can destroy many people. In fact, anger can destroy the world. We've seen. Just look at the situation right now in Libya. You've got an angry dictator whose lust and greed is being frustrated, and he's taking it out on his citizens. So it would seem that these Prachetas were not in a dissimilar circumstance. They had a mission to fulfill, a man with a mission, as we say. They had to generate progeny, and when they came out, they looked at the situation and said, hey, what's going on? This is not the way it's supposed to be. All these trees have overgrown everything. What was their purpose? Of course, their purpose was noble, really, if you think about it. Why did they not want the trees to be there? Anybody remember? They wanted to cultivate the land to produce food grains for all the living beings. That was their responsibility. That was their responsibility. Bookmark that. They kind of had an egocentric view of what was the priority. Sure enough, they came out and they were angry and they decided, well, we can fix this situation. We're full of power now, and perhaps, I don't want to say full of themselves as well. And they thought, let's just burn this place up and we can start over again. We know from our experience in the Amazon rainforest, sometimes it doesn't really help things if you burn everything down. But this was their approach. So what happened? Somehow now they're in a discussion with Soma. Why Soma? Soma is in charge of the essential ingredients that are circulating throughout these trees and plants and vegetables and all sorts of agriculture. Soma is in charge of supplying the rasa to those things, the rasa that sustains life. So he was saying that Somadev came and said that although you're interested in producing food, in fact, these trees are also valuable. They also have a place in the grand scheme of things, and you shouldn't take it upon yourself to try to become the supreme controller and obliterate things that have been ordained by fate to take birth there. It would seem that was his message. So the Prachetas had this sort of stunted view. They were looking at things from their own perspective and in terms of their own prescribed duties. It's at least nice to note that they were concerned mainly with prescribed duties. That's one difference between the Prachetas and modern leaders who are equally angry, like Muammar Gaddafi, for example. But even though they were perfect in so many ways, and even though their aim was noble, just like Arjuna in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, his concerns were fairly noble as well. He wasn't just thinking about himself and his immediate sense gratification, Preyas. He was thinking of Shreyas. In fact, when he realized that I'm bewildered and I need help, what did he tell Krishna using this word Shreyas? Anybody know? Famous verse. Yet Shreya Sya Nishchitam Bruhi Tanme. Tell me what is Shreya for me? So the Prachetas were in a similar circumstance, and yet still, somehow or other, either they were angry or they thought that the proper use of our anger is to fulfill the function that we have been entrusted with without considering the others. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that in his opinion, the highest yogi is the one who can empathize with all of the other living beings by dint of his own experience. And it seems as if the Prachetas were not doing this. I don't really know. The Acharyas have not really said a lot about these two verses in particular. And Srila Prabhupada also hasn't really elaborated on what was motivating them. But because we know that anger is involved, it has to be one of those two possibilities. Either they thought that their anger was properly placed, or they were just acting at the instance of the modes of material nature. Either way, at least Soma was not happy with that, and he came to dissuade them from their behavior. That's what's going on here. And the argument that he's giving is that all these living beings are the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's another fact. Atma aste harir ishvara bhutanam antar deheshu. In all of the bodies of the living beings, the Supreme Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, Hari, he is sitting there as Paramatma. Sarvam tadhishyam ikshadvam. Therefore, you should see everything as his residence, and every body as his residence. Evam vastoshito hiyasau. If you do like this, then that Supreme Lord will indeed be very much pleased with you. It will be very pleasing to the Lord. So this is the argument here. And the only thing else we can add maybe is that there's a purport back in the fourth canto where Srila Prabhupada gives a little more sense of context. We know that later on in this chapter, again, it's going to be repeated. A lot of the things that were stated in the fourth canto are being reiterated here, I guess. The daughter of the trees was offered to these Prachetas. That daughter was born of Kandu and Pramlocha. Who were Kandu and Pramlocha? Anybody remember? Pramlocha was an apsara. She was a society girl from Swargaloka. And Kandu was a muni who was executing austerities not dissimilar to those that we see have been executed by the Prachetas. What happens sometimes when someone becomes too powerful, particularly we hear when munis execute austerities and become too powerful, who starts to get nervous? Indra. And other demigods as well. They become nervous because if a person has too much power, that becomes a threat to them. This is the weakness of the martial class. They become threatened by someone who has any power because that's the bhava of the kshatriya. He considers himself to be the Ishwara. Ishwara bhava, Krishna says later on in Bhagavad Gita. So he sent this society girl, and sure enough it worked, and they produced this daughter. But the sage evidently didn't take responsibility for her, and Pramlocha, who was just doing her job, also didn't feel any obligation to stick around and take care of the child. So they left her in the forest, and somebody had to do something. So who's in charge of the forests? The presiding deity of all forests is Soma, the very same Soma who's coming now. And so he came and he nourished this girl by putting his finger into her mouth, and all the rasa that he puts into the vegetables, he put into this girl as well. And she was raised in that way. Her name was Marisha. And in a sense, it would seem natural that Soma would come and take care of this because she was, in effect, his daughter. Say, you're burning down the residence of my daughter. so mellow out. And he, in fact, offered this girl to the Prachetas. That's another thing. Here, Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada states, Vrikshaha tad adhishtatri devataha. The trees means the controlling deity of those trees. We find in Vedic literature, Srila Prabhupada writes, that there is a controlling deity of the water. Similarly, there is a controlling deity of the trees. In fact, there's a controlling deity of everything. And this is something that we have lost sight of. By chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Lama, Hare Lama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we can regain our consciousness of the Lord who pervades his creation through his representatives in this way. And it's a good idea. Otherwise, we will eventually end up in the same circumstance that the Prachetas are in right now. So all these things are here not for no reason. So the Prachetas were engaged in burning all the trees to ashes, and they considered the trees their enemies, Prabhupada writes. So to pacify them, the predominating deity of the trees, under the advice of Lord Brahma, he gave them his daughter Marisha. And we will see what happens in the coming chapters. So I think that's it, pretty much, what I have to say about this. In the Isha Upanishad, of course, we know there's famous verses there. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva bhut vijanataha tatra komoha kashoka ekatvam anupashyata. When someone can see with the vision of spirituality that not only the Lord is residing within all living bodies, but that all living entities within those bodies are as important as I am, and that I really don't have any claim, special claim, to lord it over anyone else for that reason. Atmaiva bhut vijanata, it can be interpreted in a couple of ways. Of course, Srila Prabhupada interprets it as Paramatma, but because Atma also means the self, we can interpret it in terms of Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text number 32 as well. That when one has so much empathy for others that in fact he considers that they're one and the same. That's also a valid Vaishnava realization. We don't want to go into the land of Kevala Advaita, Shankar's Advaita mud, in which we identify literally with all living beings. But that much Ramanujacharya has allowed. Ekatvam anupashyata. So the oneness that's mentioned there is a oneness of purpose, and Prabhupada also elaborates this on this in his purport. In fact, he also adds there, it's very interesting to note, that those who try to artificially introduce this concept of oneness on the material platform, they're generally seen to also be trying to exploit other living entities in exactly the same way that the Prachetas are doing here. Sooner or later, it will be seen that they try to use or abuse someone else for their own independent purpose. So this is something that we want to become elevated out of. This tendency is not spiritual, and it's not spiritual vision. Instead, it's based on which mode of nature? Passion. Unless it's devotional service, in which case that's transcendentally authorized. But we have to be very careful in that realm that we are sure that what we are proposing is sanctioned by Guru, by Sadhu, and by Shastra. So, tatrako moha kashoka. Otherwise, if one retains this spiritual vision and appreciates that all living entities and all things in which living entities are engaged has some ultimate purpose and value in this creation of the Lord, all different kinds, even those we don't like, then what tatrako moha, what can be illusion for him, kashoka, and what can be anxiety for him? This is the instruction of the Isha Upanishad. Any questions or comments? Yes, Shachitanai Prabhu.
Angry, they are not obviously situated in the topmost, like Uttama. They are Vaishnavas, but they're not in the topmost level because they see differences and they want to destroy it, kill.
So, it would seem that way.
So from this example, even, you know, like you said, even us doing devotional service or trying to perform devotional service, we get angry and we disregard, we make it difficult for other people, then probably that also might not be the best way to do.
This is the implication, that I have my department, you have your department. I have my project, you have your project. We know that even as devotees, there's often conflict. There's a very nice purport elsewhere here in the fourth canto where Srila Prabhupada addresses this problem as well. In fact, I think here in this passage even he mentions it as well. Yeah, it's we have achintya bheda bheda. Although we have bhedas, we have differences, we also have the abheda. And we have to keep them both in mind at all times, because that really is the absolute truth. Otherwise, the tendency is to commit offenses. And Prabhupada says the reason these offenses sometimes result from generally either material desires or immaturity, spiritual immaturity. Is that okay? Archita Prabhu?
Thank you for a very instructive class, as usual. At the same time, though, we have to realize that there is spiritual anger. Even the Lord himself exhibits spiritual anger, which may be misinterpreted by those on the material platform. So, Prabhupada said, everything is there in Krishna, otherwise how does it exist here? But in Krishna is perfect. He gives the example of rascaldom. Krishna used to hide and tackle Radharani and kiss her, and she would pretend she wasn't into it, but she was really into it. So he said, he's a big rascal, but the difference is his rascaldom is celebrated by saintly persons. Our rascaldom is not. Even ordinary people don't like our rascaldom, what to speak of saintly people. So that's the difference. So similarly, there is spiritual anger, which is celebrated. Lord Nisringadeva's anger is celebrated. The anger of Arjuna and Bhimasen is celebrated. They were pure devotees, but they were extremely angry. Bhimasen wanted to rip out Duryodhana's heart. You know, if you go and tell somebody you want to rip somebody else's heart out, I mean, that's horrible. And you'd be chastised heavily for that. But Bhimasena is celebrated for wanting to rip out Duryodhana's heart. So there is spiritual anger.
Yeah.
And we should also keep that in mind and not overlook it. Because the materialists, they can't accommodate that. They think, what kind of God is this who wants to rip apart Hiranyakashipu? Oh, I don't want such a God. But that's their foolishness. They don't realize that Krishna's anger is perfect. Similarly, the anger of the pure devotees are also perfect.
The hallmark of a non-devotee is that he wants to have oneness in the material world while he exploits everyone in sight. At the same time, he wants to have no duality in the spiritual world. He wants to deny them both. So yeah, not only anger, lust, anger, greed, these things are not good in the material world, but in the spiritual world they're not hindrances. In fact, the more advanced, according to at least one Vaishnava Acharya, the lower down you go into the modes of nature, the higher you become in the spiritual world. Vallabha Acharya says that. He says the gopis are tamasic. To be tamasic is not good in the material world, but it's actually better in the spiritual world. To become very sattvic and to see all living beings equally, and all things, to see a pebble, stones, and gold as the same, to have that vision in Gokula Vrindavan is not very advantageous, is it? Because devotional service is, in effect, a kind of passion. It's a transcendental passion. But one has to make distinctions in pure devotional service, but one has to make sure that there are pure distinctions in pure devotional service. Therefore, I mentioned that Guru Sadhu Shastra Vakya Tinete Koriya Aikya. We always hear Srila Prabhupada remind us. One has to very carefully monitor one's spiritual proposals and activities with regards to the sadhus and the shastra, and especially the spiritual master who orbits them. Yes, Swabhas Prabhu.
Thank you for a very, very nice class. It just kind of reminded me that until the prachetas were actually spoken to or preached to, then that's when they actually kind of woke up as far as what their, you know, offenses were. Although they were very advanced and they performed, as you said, for 30,000 years or 10,000 years. I don't recall the exact amount.
Yeah, 10,000.
But it appears that no matter how advanced one may be, unless one takes the instruction of a spiritual master, a self-realized soul, we won't really know how to properly dovetail these propensities of lust, anger, or greed, because those things can be utilized in the service of the Lord. I think I recall Prabhupada saying only one that you couldn't, and that's envy. But lust, anger, and greed can be utilized. So, and when the prachetas were approached and properly, instructed, then they understood. And we see even in the life of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, although he was a most magnanimous, great soul, still his father insisted that he take initiation from what we would think, materially speaking, because we're so conditioned, from a lesser individual. But the point I'm trying to make is that until we really surrender to the pure devotee, to the spiritual master, to the guru, only then can we really understand these intricacies of lust, anger, and greed, and how they can be utilized properly. And go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Because meaning is arbitrated by language, and the meaning in language is arbitrated by the spiritual master. Think about that for a while. I mean, the all meaning, you know, we say that words are defined in the dictionary, but they're not defined in the dictionary. The dictionaries are based, lexicographers make dictionaries by looking at the commentators and the previous acharyas. At least in Sanskrit, that's what they do. If you look in Monier Williams' dictionary, you'll find that every single definition he quotes his source. So ultimately, it comes down to the guru. Very good point. Avanabhata Prabhu.
So how is the anger of the prachetas different than, say, Arjuna's anger? Because it appears that the prachetas were simply following the instructions of their authority.
Yeah.
And so, because they were interested in simply executing their duty, it may have been undue anger, but in one sense, it was to fulfill the purpose of what they were instructed to do.
That's why it's so salient. I mean, in some sense, we can see there's a parallel here with also the Yamadutas, who were, you know, a little bit miffed because they were doing what they were instructed to do, and yet the Vishnudutas came and stopped them. So it does happen like that. And I said, I don't really know the answer to that. As I suggested that they may have been simply angry because their project or their program was frustrated, or it may have been some transcendental purpose that we're not aware of. At least I'm not aware of it. I don't think I can give a better answer than that. Anybody else you want to? Ganesh Prabhu?
Yes. When would it be okay or not okay to remove trees for ISKCON farms or temple projects? I mean, is there...
Well, you know, I was thinking a few months ago also, because I think it was Omkar, somebody showed me a purport in which Prabhupada is saying that even the bugs have to be protected. You know? And it's a hard one. There's that famous story in Dallas. They cut down the tree that used to be outside what's now the Prasadam room. And Prabhupada is very angry about it. And he chastised them for it. You know, it's a tough call. This is the problem with being in a managerial position, because you have to make a decision based on the subtleties of dharma, which Krishna himself admits in Bhagavad Gita are too difficult to figure out. What's action, what's inaction, and what's forbidden action? It's almost an inconceivable thing. So the only thing we can do is really depend on our mahajanas. As he was pointing out, we have to depend on our own authorities and do the best we can, and that's what they were doing. So that's why I say I don't have an answer for that one. I mean, you know, other than that, you can say it's divinely ordained that this thing can happen so that the Srimad Bhagavatam can be spoken. That's usually a pretty good answer that we volunteer in such circumstances like this. I don't know. Sorry. Anything else? Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.